Time to recap McCook City Council meeting number one for the month of July. In our studio is City Manager Nate Schneider. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Okay, you ready? You got your vocal cords all warmed up?
No, I don't. This could be ugly today, so I probably need to go ahead and do a little vocal preparation beforehand.
Because you know why?
Why is that?
You're the guy next to you, Mr. Gene Wheaton, is celebrating his 44th birthday today.
Hey!
Yeah, 44, yeah.
Happy 44th.
Yeah, thank you. We will not sing, Gene, because everybody will click, click, click the sound of radio dials.
Thank you.
Going off. So we'll hope you have a great birthday.
I will. Thank you.
I know Gene has one wish and one wish only. And that's the Cardinals to make the World Series this year. And to beat the Cubs.
That'd be a great birthday wish.
Yeah, yeah, it would be.
That would be.
And for him to get World Series tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Never know. Never know. All right, let's get to the agenda from last night. Meeting number one for the council. Anything, announcements, and recognitions?
Yeah, there were several announcements. First of all, the sports complex committee will meet Wednesday at noon in the council chambers. I believe it's a question of selection of turf patterns or color.
Yep, it's a lot of the aesthetics, and you know, we've been talking about scoreboards, but we want those scoreboards to include turf, just some amenities that we want to get the opinion of the sports complex committee. So we'll be meeting at noon, and it's open to the public, so anybody who wants to attend, you're more than welcome to attend. But that'll be at noon at the council chambers.
And then next Monday at 5:15, we have a planning commission meeting. Again, we're working on our ordinances, updating them. They're going through the ordinances, reading them. And then Nate read an email from the Chamber of Commerce from Sarah, thanking everyone for the bash on the bricks. I think it was an awesome event. We'll talk about more of that. I have some comments to make about that later when we do council comments. But Nate just read a letter from the chamber thanking everybody for that. And then today at noon, the council has a special meeting. We have some challenges to some nuisance abatements. And so we'll be meeting at noon to hear those complaints.
All right, consent agenda. Anything pulled? We had six or seven items there. Anything pulled?
Nothing was pulled.
All right, so everything as is, right?
Right.
All right. We move on. The regular agenda from last night approved first addendum to a lease between the city and Southwest Nebraska Family Resource Center for additional portions of the old Public Safety Center at 516 West B.
Okay, Nebraska Family Resource Center uses part of the old safety building, and they have run out of room, and so they have asked for additional room to use. And so then the question was, lease, we are charging them right now, they pay half of the utilities. We have other leases. The city has other leases with another entity. On those leases, it's so much per square foot. But this one is based on utilities. And so this was brought back to us several council meetings before. We talked about this. We asked the staff to come back to us. And so the staff came back to us with this and said basically what the services the Family Resource Center provides is essential, but they're also limited on budget. And so as a concession to them, we just agreed that basically we would just split the utility cost. It's $600 a month, so they pay $300 and we pay $300. And so we agreed this would be the first of three readings, I believe, then at least for the Family Resource Center. Like I said, they provide us awesome service. Most of their customers come from Red Willow or City of McCook. It's a service that nobody else offers, and so we're doing them a service here.
Okay. Anything?
Nothing else.
Ratify the quotes executed between city staff and Outdoor Recreation Products for the installation and construction of a new playground at Kelly Park and also at Barnett Park.
Yeah, this has actually been something we've talked about for quite a while. Back in fall of 2024, we received notice that we got the RCRP grant from DED, which we had earmarked for playground and then also the sports complex improvement projects. The particular parks that we wanted to make sure that we were addressing included Kelly Park and Barnett Park. Kelly Park, we've had a group of people that have worked extremely hard over the course of the past probably 2 to 3 years It's a private group, and really it was just kind of a grassroots organization. They weren't really organized per se, but you had a bunch of moms who wanted to make sure that they had playground equipment that every child could utilize. And so it was kind of a neat thing to watch this group of people get together and really push forward this project. And so that group, they were able to fundraise quite a bit of money. And also we were fortunate enough to get the RCRP grant. The city wrote the RCRP grant for the three projects. And so we have $500,000 that we've got dedicated towards the RCRP, towards the inclusive playground. Plus, with all the fundraised dollars and then the $50,000 the council put from sales tax towards this project this last budget season, we have right around or just under $1 million to pay for the inclusive playground. Barnett Park, a little different story. It's similar type equipment that you currently see over at Kelly Park. They were both installed around the same time. I was asking Kyle and Tyler Kalinske about that. And I think that they were probably installed in the mid to late 90s, but they're definitely showing some wear and tear. And so we know that we need to go ahead and make some improvements to that Barnett Park playground equipment. So for that equipment, we're looking at probably a little under $200,000 as far as the price tag for the replacement in the new. And then there will be $800,000 from that RCRP grant that will go towards the sports complex. So there's really only $50,000 of taxpayer money, sales tax dollars, that's going to these projects, the two projects, the inclusive playground and the Barnett Park playground. But we wanted to make sure. So one of the things that we've been struggling with is installation and then also the deadline that we have on the RCRP grant. We have to have everything completed by September of 2026. So it's all got to be completed and dedicated by that time. And so we're trying to get our time set with the installer. And he had said the faster you guys can go ahead and sign off on the agreement, the quotes, from Outdoor Recreation Products, the faster or the more solid he's going to be as far as his timing when he's going to be able to do the installation. And so we were kind of going back and forth with Outdoor Recreation Products. We were getting quotes. We took this to the Parks Board, I want to say probably 2-3 weeks ago. I can't remember exactly when it was, just to kind of go through the quotes. They were comfortable with the information that we got from Outdoor Recreation. The council also had an opportunity to hear that as well, too. So everybody was aware of what we were doing and what the price tag was going to be. It's going to be around $940,000 for the inclusive playground and just under $200,000 for the Barnett Park playground. But because of the fact that we needed to get the installation date set, we really had to go ahead and just sign off on the contract. Basically, what the sales representative said is if you don't go ahead and sign off on these now, you might get bumped further down the line. So the inclusive playground we have set for the build out in September of 2025, and then the Barnett Park project will occur during the spring of 2026. So we're on the installer's calendar, but I wanted to make sure that we took everything back to the council so they could see the final quotes that we signed off on. Nothing that we hadn't already talked about, but I always feel better when we have the ratification from the council when we have to do these kinds of things in the middle of council meetings. We had a 3-week waiting period, and basically what he told us on a Friday is if you don't sign off on this here by this upcoming Monday or Tuesday, the installer might go ahead and bump you down. So that's what happened.
All right. Pretty good project, huh?
They're awesome projects, and it just kind of goes in line with the other recreation projects we're doing. Some really cool things going on, whether it's the sports complex or the swimming pool or the new disc golf course over at Barnett Park, the inclusive playground, the Barnett Park playground, just a lot of things that we're attempting to try to do. And then also on the private side, you've got the YMCA and some other cool projects like that as well, too. So quality of life, things that make McCook a neat place to be, that's what we're really kind of focusing on right now.
Next up, discussion options for water and wastewater bill adjustments and direct staff on developing a policy in regard to bill adjustments.
Yeah, Pat Favre and Jessica Cott came in last night and talked about this. Sometimes people come in and they dispute their water or wastewater bill adjustment. It could be, for example, that, okay, I have a leak in my pipe and I don't know about it, and so water runs and then my water bill goes up. So I come in and say, hey, can you adjust it? And so I think basically what Pat and Jessica were basically asking the council is, can we have a policy that was set so if someone comes in and says, okay, here's the problem, can you adjust it? Yes, we can. No, we can't. Here's the reasons why. For example, if I know that I have a leak and I don't fix it for 6 months, well, is that my fault or is that the city's fault? I mean, so, or it's the same thing with like wastewater, right? You know, if I have a problem, my rate goes up. Was that because I knew I had a leak? I did fix it or whatever. So we asked the staff to come up with a policy and bring it back for us later for discussion. Mm-hmm.
So more on this coming up later.
Yeah, this is basically coming up. It's just Jessica mans the front office, and a lot of times she comes in and people say, well, can you adjust this for me? And we have no policy on how do you adjust. Yes, we did this for this person, but no, we can't do it for this person. So just come up with a policy and say, this is where we're going to be. And so, yeah.
All right. Update regarding the sports complex project.
Yeah, so like I had mentioned, it had been 3 weeks since our last meeting, and we had a lot of things happen from June 16th through yesterday. And so, as usual, I just kind of went through our checklist and kind of talked about the big things that we've been working on. There's some other things, too, behind the scenes that we're working on. But so we had our Moody's call on June 17th, and that was to go ahead and get our rating for our bond anticipation note issuance. The phone call went really well. We received a MIG-1 rating, and we also were given AA3 status. That's the status that Moody's gives. Anything in the A's in that tier, it's really good. It's the fourth highest rating you can get. The reason why we aren't higher is because we're small. We're a smaller town, and so we don't have the same kind of resources that you might see in a larger city or at the state level or federal level, whatever the case may be. And so, but the A3 or AA3 rating signifies that the city has strong financial backing, and that we're a low risk for default. And that's because we're pretty, conservative when it comes to budgeting, and we do our best to try to make sure that we don't get over our skis. And so that is in the works. Advertisement for the bond anticipation note issuance is supposed to occur today. I had been emailing back and forth with DA Davidson last week. And so look for the advertisements today. Those bond anticipation notes are going to sell towards the end of this month. And then the city of McCook will receive the proceeds at the very beginning of August. So that way we can operate. And the total amount of the bands is right around $15.5 million. So as far as just kind of working through all of our projects together, we kind of felt like we needed to coordinate a meeting between our bond underwriters, which would be DA Davidson, Northland. PFM serves as our financial advisor on the utility side. We wanted USDA to be a part of it, so Sarah Pierce was a part of the meeting. And then our engineering firm, led by Chris Miller, Miller & Associates, they were a part of the conversation as well as city staff. And we're just trying to coordinate the debt that we're going to issue for the ballpark and the debt that's going to be issued for the wastewater treatment plant. Obviously, two different majority funding sources or main funding sources. The main funding source for the ballpark is going to be the 0.5% sales tax that the voters approved in 2022. And then on the wastewater side, the majority of that is going to be through rates. And so we've made adjustments to rates on the sewer side and on the water side, but specifically towards the wastewater treatment plant to account for the new $14.5 million plant. We've had a lot of conversations regarding the new plant. I think here in the last month or so, Chris Miller and David Blau were present to give a presentation to the council to discuss that and advertise, so everybody kind of knows what's going on the wastewater treatment plant side. But I wanted to make sure in my mind that I understood how all the pieces of the puzzle were going to flow together, and I wanted to make sure the ballpark people knew what the wastewater treatment plant people knew, and then also discussions regarding, you know, future projects, whether it's water or whatever the case may be, and how, you know, how those bond anticipation notes and then the long-term debt, because we're going to roll those anticipation notes into bonds, you know, how they're going to get treated, you know, tax exempt status, bank qualified, you know, there's a limit that you can issue during the course of a year. Does that change things for us? Is it going to hurt us? Is it going to, you know, make it less attractive? And so those are things that we're talking about, trying to work through the details of these two major projects together, plus trying to make sure that as we have additional major projects that we're working on, we're not going to hamper our ability to do those or make it less attractive for debt issuance. One of the things that we've been really working on hard is the grant applications. We got a 30-page Doherty grant application in, I want to say, at the end of June. That took us a while to get that done, but I appreciate all the work that Jessica Bortner, Tara Cutter, and Kyle Potthoff did on that grant.
That's for $1 million, by the way.
Hopefully we get it.
That's what we're asking for.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there are no guarantees, but we're hoping. And then we've been kind of looking at other grant applications too. Now that we have this one done, we're probably going to pivot to some additional ones. And we have made a request of the Red Willow County Visitors Bureau for consideration for $250,000 grant. They have two separate funds, and so this would be from their construction fund. But we believe that this is a project that's really going to bring in a lot of tourists, a lot of, you know, I know I hear the term heads in beds. You're going to see a lot of heads in beds as a result of this project. You know, you're going to be seeing some very large tournaments. What you saw this past weekend at the Firecracker Classic, you know, just imagine doubling that. And some of these tournaments, you know, they're talking about large tournaments. When I go through the pro forma, I mean, you're talking about huge, huge tournaments that will have a huge impact on the city of McCook and the economic viability of our community. Working on the grant applications, we also are continuing our discussions with Mammoth. We have weekly meetings, and if there are things that pop up during the course of a week, you know, they'll give us a phone call. So we've had a couple weekly meetings since June 16th, and then a lot of phone calls. They are trying to bid out the project to different contractors. They're emphasizing trying to get area contractors involved. We appreciate that. I know that they've been reaching out to a lot of the area contractors, you know, seeing if they have interest in doing the project. Obviously, at the end of the day, we want to try to keep our guaranteed maximum price right now is $16.9 million. So we're trying to keep those project costs underneath that $16.9 million. Obviously, our preference would be to work with our local contractors. We know them. We trust them. You know, they do good work. But we also have to keep an eye on the bottom line. And so I just had a phone call with them yesterday about a potential contractor locally, and told them that'd be a great person to contact, give it a shot, and see if they're interested in doing it. But they've given me a list of some of the area contractors, and we do have a good list. We've got some people from North Platte that have shown some interest. I'm hopeful that we can keep this as local as we possibly can. We got news from the Power Review Board that Nebraska Public Power is going to have jurisdiction over the entirety of the Walters tract of land. So that'll be good. We receive lease payments from NPPD for the use of our infrastructure. We wanted to make sure that the city of McCook was getting reimbursement for that, and so that's great. Plus, it's sometimes easier when you just have one service provider in a particular area. So we got news from the review board on the 20th of June that was approved. This week, we've got a meeting with Sports Feasibility Companies and Mammoth just to kind of talk about management of the facility as we move forward. once we get the project built, we got to think about how do we manage the facility. And so we're going to have some conversations regarding how to manage, what's the best way to manage, what would be a fair amount, to charge for user fees, those kinds of things. The other thing, we're looking at naming rights right now and just trying to work through that process, figuring out, what that number is going to be. Mammoth's creative team is kind of helping us out with that. When I say creative team, those are the people those are your pencil pushers probably over at Mammoth that are in the background, just trying to figure out how to make all the pieces of the puzzle fit together and trying to make this project very exciting for the public so they can see what this is going to be, whether it's video creation or trying to come up with the numbers, for values of what naming rights, would bring for a facility like this. So we're going to talk about that a little bit as well on Thursday. But looking forward to having Sports Feasibility Companies and Mammoth both in town at the same time to discuss this. Aside from that, the horizontal build-out should be occurring here relatively quickly, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. I know we had talked about maybe the end of June. The dirt work obviously is taking some time, but we're getting closer and closer to that, and we're excited to see turf getting rolled. That can't come fast enough. It'll be fun to see.
Gene?
Nothing. Basically, I think that's it. Yeah.
Everything's, they're pushing dirt out there, and those guys, I think they took maybe the 4th of July
they
off
did.
But a little
they
bit,
did.
But they're back out there working this week.
Yeah, Mammoth, actually, they just bought a house here 2 weeks ago for their guys.
Yeah.
So I think that they're feeling more comfortable in the community. Those guys just bust their tail. They work hard. They work from sun up to sun down.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't say enough good things about those guys.
One thing I want to mention is, with Mammoth, we had three contracts. A was the dirt work, and then B is the horizontal that we put the fields, the backstops. And now we're working on the contract C, which would be the restrooms, the concession stand, the area where the officials can change. So we're working on that, and they're working on the design. They've come back to the council with designs, but I think they'll go back also to the sports complex committee. Is this what you want, et cetera? So, yeah. So we're working on that. So that will be the third contract that eventually will come back. They'll come back to us, and then they'll come to the council for our approval then. So,
okay.
One thing from the consent agenda that I probably just need to touch on here really fast, just so that way we don't get a lot of phone calls saying what the heck is going on West Q Street. On August 5th at 2 p.m., there is going to be a closing of West Q Street from West 10th Street over to, I think it was West Fair Acres Street. So it kind of, that's that circular dip between 10th, and then you've got East Fair Acres and West Fair Acres. There's going to be a community planning drill. We have these occasionally from time to time to kind of plan for emergency type events. And we do this in conjunction with the hospital. So I know the Work Ethic Camp, the hospital, City of McCook, Redwell County Sheriff's Department, the Redwell County Fair. There are a lot of people at this meeting just kind of going through trying to figure out how we wanted to plan it, where we wanted to close. But the council did approve the closure of West Q Street on August 5th from West 10th Street to the east side of West Fair Acres. And this should give everybody an opportunity to get around if they need to. But these kind of drills are extremely important, so that way there's preparation. My understanding is there are going to be people coming in from the state of Nebraska that are going to participate in this as well, too, just because it's got so many different angles. So it's going to be a good project. But on the 5th of August, if you see West Q Street closed and activity and ambulances or first responder vehicles or whatever, don't freak out. it's a planned drill. Usually those things take about 4 to 5 hours to conclude. I don't think we'll probably be out there with a street closure for that long. But just wanted to get that out there and start to advertise that, because I know that people will kind of wonder what's going on that day.
We'll make sure to pass along over the course of that next couple of days.
Yeah.
Everything's okay.
That's perfect. I don't want to try to get in front of the group, but I always get nervous when we start talking about street closures and whatnot, because I just want to make sure that people realize that we've got to think of some different options as far as trying to get from point A to point B. So,
council comments.
Yeah, Mayor Taylor mentioned two events. First of all, the Freedom Festival. She wanted to thank everybody who was responsible for this event. She thought it was an awesome event. She thanked like Jamie Mockery, Daisy Faber. I mean, everybody. There's hundreds of people that were involved, and so she just wanted to thank people for that. Then also she talked about the Firecrackers softball tournament. She's talked about what a wonderful event it was, but unfortunately the championship games were worst out, and she said if we had had turf, we could have played those games. So maybe a year from now that wouldn't have happened. I wanted to mention the week of the bash on the bricks and, you know, the Wagner car show and the cruising, and we had the bicyclists here. I had volunteered to drive a van around town, and I drove around town a number of people. I take them to places like to Walmart or to Citadel or whatever. Rich, they commented about the city of McCook. They thought we have an awesome city. They were so impressed with our city, and they were just the comments about you have such a beautiful city. It's such a clean city. It's well taken care of, and they just really were appreciative of the city. And I just want to pass it along to the citizens of McCook that people do see the city of McCook maybe differently than you do. And the last thing is, Bev last night. We have a new transit bus at the senior center.
Okay.
It's taken us 5 years to finally get it, but she had it last night, and so it's in service now. So it's awesome. I got to look into it, and sit in, and it's beautiful. So congratulations, Bev. And we have a new transit bus that's going to be in operation for the senior center now.
All right. Very good. Next meeting is a planning commission meeting next week, right?
Correct. Yep.
Next regular meeting on the 21st.
Then we've got our special meeting today at
noon time,
on a couple of nuisance abatement determinations, and so and then we've got our sports complex committee meeting tomorrow at noon as well too. Mm-hmm.
And don't we have a meeting the 22nd with Pat Faber with the water
yeah that's right, they got moved. The 22nd we're going to have a meeting at noon to discuss just kind of the water treatment plant, kind of where we're at with our water. We wanted to have Chris Miller from Miller and Associates, and then David Blyle from Miller and Associates present to go ahead and kind of help answer any questions or discuss kind of where things are at. Got a lot of big projects, whether it's the media replacement and the vessel replacement, filtration system for manganese removal. I know we've been having issues. We've done some repair work to our deep injection well. We've also talked to a contractor who said, really, you need to have reciprocal wells. So that way, if one goes down and you're working on it, you've got a second injection well that you can go ahead and put your waste down. They're just a lot of things, you know, whether it's distribution system or whatever the case may be. One of the things that popped up here this past week again was our lead line inventory. We know that we have an obligation under the current EPA rules to try to replace all the lead lines in McCook in 10 years, which is not just the public lead lines, but also the private lead lines, which is kind of crazy because it's not part of our inventory, but it all kind of is an offshoot of what happened in Flint, Michigan. And so sometimes you'll see the federal government maybe overreact a little bit or put unfunded burden upon, you know, the smaller political subdivisions. But Pat and I, we've been kind of running the numbers, and we've been getting quotes from different companies, whether it's Johnson's out of Kearney. We got a quote from a company out of Denver. And there would be some SRF loan forgiveness associated with this. But, you know, just to go ahead and finish the potholing, because we've been potholing now for, I want to say, a good year, and we turned in our results in October, but we probably got about a third of the properties potholed. To get the other two-thirds, and that was just our guys that did that. So there was no contract, no cost. We were talking with Johnson's, and their estimate came back at $1.2 million to do it. And so we reached out to a company in Denver. They came back at $2.5 million. And so it's like, oh, okay. And that's just to go ahead and find the lead lines. You know, that's to go ahead and locate the lines, not just on the public side, but also on the private side. That doesn't include replacement, which would cost you probably another $4 to $5 million. And so, and that's all, you know, that's all mandated by the federal government. We don't have a call on these things. Our philosophy has always been when there's a lead line, we find a lead line, we replace it. Back when they were installing the lead lines in the 1910s and early 1920s, they did not keep records of what it was, where they were placed. So we don't know where the lead lines are until we actually have to go ahead and do repair work, and then we find the lead lines and we replace them. But now what we're having to do is locate the lead lines ahead of time, which is very labor intensive. And I only have three guys on the distribution system that also deal with all the leaks, that deal with all the things that you have to do on a day-to-day basis, on top of trying to find federally mandated lead line inventory. And so it's just like, okay, just keep on dropping more stuff on us. But we want to talk about all the different things that we could potentially have coming up. And we encourage the public to attend. You know, I know a lot of people have questions regarding water. I think that if they were to hear from the experts, they would understand, hey, we're doing everything we possibly can to try to make sure that our system is updated. We test our water all the time. We always come out, you know, with good tests. The results are within the limits. So we take a lot of pride in that. But I also think that, you know, just the sheer magnitude of these projects, when you start talking, I know Kurt Fritch used to call Jesse Dutcher his million-dollar baby, because whenever he would come into his office and complain about something, it was always going to cost $1 million to fix. And now with inflation and everything, you probably quadruple that from the mid-2000s. And so anyway, we're going to have that meeting on the 22nd. It'd be great for the public to come. We're going to do it during lunch hour. Primarily because we have a council meeting the night before, and it just kind of worked for everybody to meet at that time. So I'd encourage people to come. It'll be in the council chambers, and I think it'll be a good conversation.
When's the last time you talked to Kurt?
I haven't talked to Kurt forever. You know, we kept in touch for a while. I want to say probably 2016 was the last time I talked
really?
To him.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been 8 years. But yeah, Kurt was a great guy.
Funny guy.
Oh, man, yeah. I love Kurt. Yeah, he was a great guy. Yep. And he loved McCook. It was a good fit for him, and he was the right guy at the right time. McCook needed him. I've never seen anybody get more red when he would get up. So, yeah, he was great until I was on the receiving end a couple times of some of his frustration. And so I remember one time Kyle and I were working on a project, and he came into Kyle's office. And he said, did you guys get that report done for A, B, C, or D? And we look at each other. We're like, nope. And we both go running in different directions. So that way we could go ahead and get the report done. But I haven't talked to Kurt for a long time. But I always will appreciate Kurt.
The one problem with the wastewater treatment plant is how do you build and yet keep the other part function? You've got to be able to function mm-hmm. and then build too, so you can't stop. So that's the problem is. And so Chris Miller of Miller & Associates has done a wonderful job. Nate said, came back with a plan of here's where we're going to build, here's what we're going to take, here's where we're going to build. It's land that's not being used right now, and then eventually here's what we can tear down, et cetera. So, yeah. So.
All right. More coming up next meeting on the 21st, officially on the 21st.
Yep.
City Manager Nate Schneider, thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
Councilman Gene Wheaton, birthday boy, have a great birthday.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.